Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. Unfortunately, nobody got into a fist fight this week, so I guess we're going to have to find actual lists of topics to talk about today, Les. But it was actually a halfway interesting week with some of the stories that came across the wire. Among certain things, we'll take a look at some of the stronger ratings Dynamite has had in some time. We'll discuss briefly Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul, or at least the potential possibility of that based on what might be happening on SmackDown this evening. We'll also talk about a former training partner of yours in those weekend training camps back in the day, who is apparently getting back in the ring. Is it true that you'll be his tag team partner for this match?
No. That's a simple answer. No, it isn't. Well, but before we get to all these interesting things,
yes,
my cut and paste, and for those of you people that we are happy they're listening to us, who have picked us up from being out on Spotify or Amazon or wherever, or Apple, I mean, I was attacked by I have a guy I call Cut and Paste who he does check the board on the Observer Figure Four site. Okay, I don't, and he sends me little outtakes from my fans, and I'm using my fingers and making quotations when I say fan. But anyway, I was burned. You and I are now Brian Last and Jim Cornette.
Well,
which
listen,
ain't a bad thing.
I'll trade wallets.
So damn sure will I. And you know what? First of all, I've said it on the show, and I'll say it over and over again. If we're talking about brilliant minds in the wrestling business that are above ground, then we include Jim Cornette, or we don't talk about it, because he certainly is one of those people. How do I know that? Not because he's my friend, but he is, because I've worked with him, okay? But anyway, let's get back to the Young Bucks. I am not a fan of the Young Bucks. I do not know the Jacksons. I have never met the Jacksons. This is not personal. I have lived all my adult life virtually in the wrestling business. So, yes, there is a hell of a connection with me and the industry. And I don't think everything should be funny. I don't think everybody should go around tongue-in-cheek and rolling their eyes and say, this is all bad, this is all rib. And I'm a cool guy, and they don't do a lot of wrestling. Do a lot of great high. And listen, if you're entertained by the high spots and everything, I'm cool with that too. It's not personal. There are gimmicks I don't, you know, don't like a particular type of music, but that doesn't mean it's horribly bad. If you're entertained by them, they're not the greatest tag team of all time. I don't even know if they fit in the top 100, but. The point is, it's not personal. But yes, I say what I think. So feel as you must. If I have a negative comment about somebody's character, you can't be. It's not personal. It's about the business. That's what we're talking about here. So with that in mind, I always have to clear myself, but feel free to burn me. It's perfectly all right. I know most of you that are 12 years old and can write your own name probably are smarter about the wrestling business than I am. And that was a dig. That was a dig, jackass. Go ahead.
Well, we are moving on to some of the stuff we have on our list of topics here today. Actually, I'm going to make a brief left turn because there is, as we record the show on Friday morning, the 16th of September, there is a new story up on the front page at F4W Online talking about how Bray Wyatt and WWE have been talking about a return and some other stuff with Paul Levesque here, so we'll briefly touch on this. It's stuff that is actually also ripped out of the pages of this week's Wrestling Observer, so if you're not already a subscriber, you may want to get on that. Dave talks about Bray Wyatt and the possibility of him returning to WWE. He says at one point the talk stalled, but said it was not a dead issue. Talks for Bray to make appearances or work for another company outside of WWE, not hard to do that math, have stalled because his asking price was well above what other companies were willing to pay. But it's apparently still something that is on the table, I guess, on both sides. And with respect to Paul Levesque, You know, something we talked about in the last few weeks, Les, was that there were a lot of surprises on Mondays and Fridays over the last few weeks, and that you could only do that for so long, and it was being effective, but how much longer were you going to continue to do that? Well, apparently the answer is a good while longer, because Dave reports that he was told Paul Levesque has some surprises coming in who are not people that have been talked about in some time. So there's that.
Well, you know what? I'm, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit too, that Gargano had said earlier in the week he returned to WWE because of Triple H, because of Paul. You know, I've met him, obviously, and I've met Stephanie. I probably have more conversation with her than I have with him, but I know this because my dear friend Harley Race told me this on several occasions, that Levesque is studies old school. I know some of the fans listening to us will probably never speak to him again or probably try to burn him in effigy or something. But anyway, because he watched a lot of Harley's old stuff, and he would call Harley and discuss it with him, you know, about, because, you know, he was using some of that stuff in his heel persona. So I'm thinking, we may see a little more wrestling, and just, you know, a little more of things that aren't funny, aren't clownish. And Gargano, you know what? I think it started with Gargano and Gable on Monday night. They had a damn solid wrestling match, believe it or not, on a wrestling show. But he's changed the logo around and everything on NXT, and I'm hoping that I can get back into the groove there again, because I'll be honest, you know, we've talked about that too, since they went to 2.0 and trying to get 9,000 people over all at the same time. It was more, I don't know, like watching an indie show at times. But I see some of the guys are developing. They're putting some of the major stars off the two main rosters down there, at least occasionally. So that's going to help things out. That's something they did with us in Cincinnati when I was under contract with HWA to train their people. And I think things will turn around for them and hopefully get better. And I'm glad to see Gargano back. Johnny Wrestling is a Cleveland boy, so we're fellow Buckeyes, and on top of that, he's a hell of a good kid. He wrestled for me in L.A. back in 2012 and 13 on the tournament out there, and I really was impressed with him and got to know him, and I'm happy that he's happy, and it looks like he's going to do well. He and Theory may end up having some damn good matches, too.
Well, with respect to Johnny Gargano, there was a conversation he had this week that I had a chance to check out, and he was talking about how his return to WWE came together kind of quickly, and it all unfolded right after Paul Levesque was installed as head of creative, and now, you know, he's added a number of other titles since that actually happened. But Johnny was basically talking about how he did have some discussions with other folks and there were some interesting things there and what have you. But as soon as Paul Levesque got in there, they began the talk. And one of the things that really swayed Gargano, and he didn't need a whole lot of persuading, was the fact that Paul Levesque was going to be calling the shots, because that's a guy he developed a rapport and real comfort, with, because of all the time they spent together in NXT and the way Gargano was used so well in NXT. When he saw Paul Levesque being installed, there really was only one choice in his mind, because he knew the guy. He's got a great relationship with him, and he felt like this was the place where he would be best utilized, because he trusted Paul Levesque once and it came up aces, so why not do it again?
And you know what? I'm sure he heard some feedback from Black, from Bobby Fish. And I say feedback, not necessarily directly to him, but again, having been a part of the industry for so many years, if you want to learn something, go in the dressing room somewhere. Hey, I talk to so-and-so, works such territory. He this and this and this and this. And that. And so I'm sure, you know, that some of this insider stuff that we don't hear about necessarily, you know, floats around in the dressing room. So I'm sure, you know, he had heard some of that. Well, you know, and look, Bobby Fish is right. You know, hell, those guys were a hell of a draw, and they should have been all put back together and utilized, but they weren't. So we move on from that. But, yeah, I'm happy for Johnny Wrestling, and I think he'll be a damn good addition to the main roster there.
So with SmackDown happening later tonight, we had a Twitter battle somehow yesterday between Logan Paul and Roman Reigns. And, you know, Roman did not want to be a part of that for too long. He passed it off to Paul Heyman, and he and Paul went back and forth on Twitter for a while. And then the Paul, as in Paul Levesque, chimed in to say, hey, you know, it just so happens that if you have differences, I happen to have a place where you can settle them. So Logan Paul will be on SmackDown tonight. And I mean, based on that exchange on Twitter that I imagine they will, I hope, mention at some point on SmackDown tonight, we could be laying some groundwork for Logan Paul being Roman Reigns' next challenger, Les.
I'm not excited. I'm just not. It's a celebrity. Now, the kid showed well with Miz. I mean, really, he did. And he seems enthusiastic to learn as much as he can. But he is a celebrity that raised to fame by getting his ass handed to him by some professional athletes. And the last thing WWE needs, or I need, is to see him go 15, 20 minutes with Roman. Roman eats his lunch, and we go home. I mean, it doesn't mean he won't get something in. But he's not as long with Roman's run of this title. And of course, I see that the new top 500 in the magazine, Roman is the guy, the number one guy of the 500, and he should be. And so, Logan Paul can't go in there and just wear Roman out. That's, or at least not for me if I'm the booker. If they got to have something, it'll go, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and you know, we can get it out of there without killing Roman, without killing Logan Paul, but we're damn sure going to get out of it without putting at least even the smallest dent or blight on Roman's run as champion. And that's just me.
So obviously at this point, we have no idea what the actual plan is or when they plan to do this match, if in fact they plan to do it. It's a no-brainer on one level in that you want to take advantage of the celebrity of Logan Paul, who made his name, as you mentioned, in fights and on YouTube and things of that nature, and transitioning here to WWE, at least on a semi-regular basis. I would think if you want to squeeze the absolute most out of this, since you're not making money off of new network subscriptions anymore, this might be a SmackDown main event.
Yeah, could very well be. Could very well be. Well, you know, if you look at it, so far they've given Roman, I mean, he has run through most of their top baby faces.
Yeah.
At this point. So it's get somebody. I mean, but see, that's the other thing, too. They weren't getting anybody ready underneath Roman. I wish I knew what the stand with Randy Orton is, because he certainly would be one of those people that could come back and be a strong contender. Roman, they need people for Roman to go up against. I don't want to see, Logan Paul go too long. And because, well, there again, people know that, right? That he, I mean, his match with Miz was the first match he'd ever had. Yes, he'd trained, he'd worked out, but to put him in and let him, look too strong with Roman would not be a good idea. But we'll see, I guess. I do know that, yeah, they need somebody to go with him. And you mentioned earlier, it may be some guys who haven't even talked about in a while or something, so could be some surprises there, too.
Yeah, we can kind of intertwine here some a thought or two about NXT. I know it's not something we've been keeping up with a whole lot lately, but it does appear, at least possibly with the fans, in the process of potentially turning the corner with the best numbers they've had in some time this past week and some pretty good matches there as well. But my specific question, or you know, something I want to lay out there for you to give your thoughts on, revolves around the new North American champion, Les, Solo Sikoa, barely a week removed from making his main roster debut, returns to NXT, beats Carmelo Hayes, wins the North American Heavyweight Championship. So now you've got a guy who just got a major appearance at the big event with McIntyre and Roman, comes on SmackDown, wrestles Drew. They don't beat him. Comes to NXT now as a conquering hero, wins the North American Championship. And it really just continues, even though I was surprised to see it at first. When I looked at what happened, I thought, I also kind of get it, because now you've got the guy who went up there, made good real quick, came back and won. But you also have yet another member of the Bloodline with a championship. All of them have some kind of gold.
Yes, and you know what, and I don't know this to be a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me if we were to learn some way or another that the decision to put the belt on him on NXT off of Carmella came after they saw how he had his appearance at the Castle and how well it went. But I think part of it is here, we talk about Roman, but the Samoans are hot, right?
They are.
So let's add some fuel to the fire. And the kid, now he's still got a lot, there's still a lot for him to learn. But yes, I was impressed with him. And, he's got, his promos aren't that strong. But, again, he's just getting his feet wet, basically. So I would guess that's why he's getting the big push. Because, well, if we got three Samoans over, what the hell? Must be better if we got four, right? I honestly think that's part of the reason, is because the Samoans as a group, as the Bloodline, are so hot now. And they can even, when Vince bought WCW and they sent all the cruiserweights to me and they were doing the, invasion thing on the main rosters, I decided, okay, I'm going to do it here. And we're letting Shane McMahon is the guy who's starting to, to run the invasion at the developmental level. So I called the office and had him send me a whole bunch of WCW t-shirts to put on the guys who had been at WCW. And we did that, at our place. So, you try to follow what you may be hot, and pick up, get a little of the heat off of it, a little afterburn or whatever. So, I think Solo's, I see a bright future for him. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's a win on many levels, again, because he just comes off of main roster television for a couple of appearances. And he's, even though he was at NXT 2 weeks ago, he's a surprise again. And winning that gold means that at least one member of the Bloodline is going to be on NXT fairly regularly. And if there's one, you never know when there may be others. So you've got that in the back of people's minds. You also right. get the added bonus of more surprises coming to NXT. So it's not just reserved, I should say, for the main roster. If you have read the spoilers for the NXT tapings up at F4WOnline.com, you know exactly who I am referring to. For anybody else who wants to be surprised, because they did tape the next two episodes already, I will leave it right there. But there is going to be a surprise on NXT next week. Speaking of which, I wonder if Bruce Pritchard is actually the most surprised guy in Orlando these days. I'm just sitting here watching this stuff, and obviously we saw what appears to be a changing of the logo. Right after NXT 2.0's first anniversary, the black and gold of NXT under Paul Levesque has returned. It's quite possible the 2.0 is going to be disappearing as well. And I just had this vision, all these weeks now that Paul Levesque has been in charge less, of unwinding a lot of Vince stuff. I mean, we've seen some changes on Raw. The show has a little better pace, flow. I would imagine the writers are getting just a little more sleep. The matches are getting a little bit longer. And some changes that Shawn Michaels obviously has been a big part of in NXT and a lot of growing pains, as you referenced, over the last year or so. But things appear to start to be coming together. And then you see things coming back like the black and gold and the logo and one of the surprises that is going to be on NXT next week. And I think to myself, the only thing Bruce is going to have to change is the first name, because, the story is
he tells Paul, Vince, that's great.
Yes.
Vince, that's great.
Exactly. So he's safe.
And some of these ideas could have been Bruce's too. I don't know.
Well, you never know.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
No. But yeah, yes. I don't know how well, I know Triple H, has relationships with guys, and well, that's one of the reasons Road Dogg is back.
Yes.
In charge of the, I forget the title, he is the road events.
Yeah, the live events position that Jeff Jarrett.
Live events. Yeah. That's what I'm. Yeah, yeah. Because he's, well, you know, I think we all do that. You know, when I was talking to the company in India years ago about going over there and training wrestlers, and that they were, this company in India, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, I won't get into it in long detail, had approached me, and they, it was an advertising company which covered the entire country of India, and they wanted to start a wrestling promotion, similar, I came talk to WWE, and they had contacted me, and I was putting together a crew that, you know, like if we make the final connections and everything, we're, you know, and I was contacting people who I was comfortable with, who I knew could do the job. And, well, you know, like J.J. Dillon, who he and I go way back to when he was still wrestling before he ever became an executive or a manager. And we, you know, so I know his track record. I know what he can do. I contact Dr. Tom. So, you know, so I think we're all guilty of that. And it's not just nepotism, and it is sometimes, or just your cronyism. But I don't know that it will be with Paul. I don't see how it can be with Paul, because the stage he's on right now, man, it's not like he can lay the blame somewhere else, right? You're top of the heap, baby, and so. The ball is in your court, but yeah, I can see why he would be doing that. And yeah, changes are coming. That's always happened with bookers. You know, change bookers, and you know, I meant to mention this a week or so ago. I want to throw it in here as an aside. Now, you mentioned Strowman earlier, and I was going to say, and we got off onto something else. The people writing these shows, or bookers, or whatever the hell they want to call themselves, need to start watching each other's shows. The reason I say that is Morrissey, or Kaz, or whatever you want to call him, when he, that Wednesday on Dynamite, he came out and cleaned the ring. They had the tag match, four guys or six or whatever the hell it was.
Okay.
For no particular reason.
Yeah.
Right? No, I mean, announcers didn't know why he was out there. I didn't know why he was out there. Nobody ever told us why he was out there except to show that he was going to do this. And by God, guess what happened the following Friday? Or was it Monday?
Monday.
When did Strowman come in?
Following
Monday.
Monday. Yeah.
He went out and did the same damn thing. And I'm just saying it's too close together, too much alike. And my problem with it is somebody saying, boy, it's just what happened on Dynamite the other night. And I won't say that I've never used something I've seen somebody else use, but I'll never use it in the same week or the same day, or try not to use it close together so there isn't that comparison. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me. Also makes sense that we can transition into AEW after you tell folks where they can get their hands on some really cool, hard to find up until now, Wrestling from the Heartland DVDs and some of the other stuff that's available.
All right, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Well, you know, I'll start actually with Brian Pillman's show's anthology, the 20th anniversary, because Joe Dombrowski has a real great video package he's put together. It's out on, I don't know where all he's put it. I know it's on Twitter and on Facebook. It's on my page on Facebook as well as Joe's, and I see several other people have shared it. But anyway, to mention, if you haven't seen it, check those videos out, and I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway, the Brian Pillman Show's anthology, 20th anniversary. It's a four DVD set, over 15 hours of content, all four of those great shows, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, matches, interviews, footage from the auction, awards, so many extras. And you can get that at PillmanShows.com or Joe-Dombrowski.com or ProWrestlingLibrary.com. On that, also, Joe and I do the voiceover. I talk more about the behind-the-scenes stuff. He does more of the play-by-play. And like I say, a lot of extras with guys who are on the show, Jericho, Mark Henry, Blade, and on and on and on. And also, from those same addresses, you can get Wrestling from the Heartland, the Lost Developmental Tapes, Volumes 1 and 2, over 6 hours of content. Both packages are two DVD sets. matches interviews and extras. Joe and I do the voice over there and the same deal. And like I say, you can get those joe-dombrowski.com, prowrestlinglibrary.com, or pillmanshows.com. So check it out.
All right, my friend, we are headed towards the land of AEW and Dynamite. Obviously, no updates other than what Dave has talked about on the site earlier in the week. Pat Buck, Christopher Daniels, Michael Nakazawa, all of them apparently. Actually, I shouldn't say Nakazawa, but I know Buck and Daniels for sure have had their suspensions lifted. They were the investigation has proven they were simply there to break up the fight, and therefore Daniels is already in Japan doing some work for AEW and taking a couple of independent bookings as well. And Buck was back at his normal post this past Wednesday night for what was a damn solid show, Les, like you mentioned. And now I'm going to just take it right out of your mouth, even though I'm about to turn it over to you.
It's okay.
But strong start, strong finish.
Yeah, it was. They put the main event where it belongs at the end of the show.
Yes.
Clever idea. Yeah, it was. It was, I thought that, Sammy Guevara, had a much better match with Mox, I think maybe out of fear for no other reason. I'm going to talk about the tournament a little bit. This tournament is for the World Championship as recognized by AEW, which, so if you're under contract to this company, this should be the most important title. And this being a part of this should make you so serious and so focused. And when I saw Sammy Guevara last week with Darby, Sammy was anything but focused. And of course, as loud as as way he chews his gum, I don't know how he can focus on anything other than that anyway. But with my problem with his match with Darby is he was dissing Darby, at least from wrestling way, in a wrestling lesser's view anyway, because Darby's selling something for him. He knocks Darby down or gives him a couple bumps, and Darby's selling it. So Sam jumps out of the ring and swaps spit with his wife. And I sat there and thought, Sam, it's a good thing Harley Race is not your opponent tonight, because you would have done this, and you would have turned around to go back to Harley, and you'd have seen this huge left hand coming out of nowhere. And the next thing you would have known, you'd have woke up somewhere, but it wouldn't have been on your feet. Your ass would have been done. And I'm saying that because, and it happens all the time now. Again, it is disrespect. If you are putting me over, if you are doing a job for me, or if you are selling my stuff and selling it quality-wise, then the last thing I need to do is turn my back on you. I'm basically saying, I got this idiot, boy. He's not, you know, he's nothing. And believe me, it's becoming a habit. If you watch, a lot of guys are doing it, and it's, wow. But he made a joke out of it, and this is a world championship match or tournament, right? And so, yes, you have to fit. It's called imagery, you know, and you need to fit that image. And so, obviously, Sammy didn't really care, which is fine because he got his ass handed to him last Wednesday. But yes, you know, it's just things like that. That bothered me. But yeah, I thought Mox took it to him and gave him a little bit. And they had, why is it your wife, if you have a wife and she happens to be somewhere within 40 miles of the building, she has to interfere?
Well, I mean, if she sees you getting beaten up, why wouldn't she help you? I mean, if she doesn't help me, then we might have a bigger problem in the back.
You'd have, if every woman that was out there with their man helped him, they'd have a bigger problem with me if I were the booker.
Well, that's also true.
Yes, it is. No, it's just, it's too much. And again, that's been, you know, the way AEW has been, too much of almost everything. And again, we're not going to go into that. But yes, the tournament went well, and I thought, honestly, that Jericho and Moxley had one of the best matches Jericho has had in some time, and they paced it well.
Are you talking about the match they had a few weeks ago, or when you said Moxley, you meant Danielson?
I meant Danielson. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. I did. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm confused here. I meant Danielson. But, yes, and I was glad to see him put Dragon over, and the way they did it, I thought it was a damn good match. You mentioned that the numbers fell with the women's tag. I understand that. And of course, still, you know, we're seeing some good stuff, but, man, all the run-ins and extras and this and that and the other things. And I see, I don't know if it's just a joke, the pizza man.
Oh, well, now, did you see the video of him before he appeared on Dynamite? Because it had become a thing on the internet.
First of all, I didn't see him on Dynamite. And second of all, no, I didn't see the video.
Okay, well, there's a video. I'll find it. Somebody on Twitter, please send the video to Les that went viral in the last week or two of what's his name? Luigi Primo, something like that, the pizza guy. So it had gone viral and had been something of a hit in wrestling circles on Twitter and a few other places. And I guess Tony thought it would be a chuckle. I'm not sure exactly why else you would do that.
I'm not sure why I do it either. Except when I saw it, and so I said, well, he was booked on AEW. And I thought, oh my God, what they're trying to do is put together the goofiest roster in the history of professional wrestling. I can see it now. Pizza Man, Danhausen, and Orange Cassidy going after the Trios.
That is exactly where I knew you were going.
Danhausen press slams Osprey. How's that?
Oh, jeez.
Of course, he won't have far to fall. I won't hurt Osprey too much. I'm being sarcastic, yes, I know. But, yeah, it's I don't need the pizza man, thank you very much. Just enough's enough. And what I said earlier about the Bucks, I don't want to see everything in this industry tongue-in-cheek. I don't give a damn who you are. I'm not interested in that. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people that aren't interested in that. Anyway, I got us off track. Go. Where are we now?
Well, I was going to talk about MJF and Stokely Hathaway on Dynamite this week. I like that they made it obvious to the viewer. MJF drew the connection between he and Stokely, which explains what happened at the pay-per-view, why Stokely went up there, got the chip, and gave it to him. The fact that, you know, they've known each other forever since MJF was a teenager. And they've been tight that entire time. I thought it was good that Stokely got the opportunity to speak and introduce his group. Obviously, at first glance, this faction is highly questionable. Stokely might be he is the best guy in it in terms of anybody with the microphone in his hand. And if you've watched him anyplace else, he's also probably the most credible. But, you know, this is part of the deal now, Les. I can't go crazy about not being excited about this group. Because we're missing main eventers right now, and we don't know if they'll ever be back. You have to put different faces and new combinations out there. So you got to give this a chance. And listen, every segment, even the women's tag, which we talked about was the lowest rated segment, every segment this week was up over 1 million viewers. So he got to introduce everybody in front of one of the larger audiences they've had in a while, and we'll see if it sticks.
Good point. Yeah, I like Stokely. I met him in San Antonio a couple years ago. We were doing a weekend for Rudy Gonzalez at Texas Wrestling Academy. And I'll tell you what we spent more time talking about was the Apollo Theater because he worked there when he was a young man. And you know me and R&B, and I loved everything that happened at the Apollo. And so when he told me that, that's all I want to talk about. the hell with wrestling. Let's talk about the Apollo Theater and the music. But yeah, Stokely's a good guy. He's sharp. And you're right. I'd say if we're talking about managers in that company right now, he is the man.
Yeah.
I know Don Callis will hate to hear that, but he is the man.
And an affiliation with MJF does a lot for Stokely. Obviously, they made it clear this is a loose affiliation, that the two of them are friends. But he'll call on Stokely and his guys if he needs something done. It's not that they're necessarily running tight together here. But still, just the association with MJF definitely can't hurt.
No, it certainly can't. But you made a very valid point a few minutes ago, too, when you said with so many of the main eventers down, gone, suspended, or whatever, they need to push some people. They need warm bodies. And yes, and we talked about this probably a year ago, but they had so many factions and still do that some people can't even name all the factions or who is, you know, well, we know this guy and this, who are those other three guys? I don't know. What's their names again? They said their name once 2 weeks ago or something. I'm, you know, but that's, you're right. They're putting a lot, they're putting some of these, and again, you and I have had this discussion, to the point of we can probably telepathically, I can't even talk today, telepathically talk about it without opening our mouths, and that is the company. When you introduce people, you have to give us depth and background. And if you like, well, like with this, you know, instead of here's a place where you could have done a little vignette. For Stokely and all these guys off, never mind doing it on air, right? Live, do it, you know, tape it and, you know, him taking through a workout, talking, taking him through a skull session, having dinner, talking about this, you know, and get each guy a little background because we all, every one of us, it's human nature, you know. I follow what's going on with sports teams that I'm familiar with or I've been fans of since I was a child. You know, you drive a certain kind of car, and if you follow NASCAR, then you're always looking for that car and who's driving it. And by God, you're his. You know, you're a big fan of his. So yeah, I think it's very important, and it is. It's handled lackadaisically by all the major companies right now, as best I can tell. How about you?
Oh, well, I would completely agree with that. By the way, before I move us on to what's going to be happening with Rampage tonight, I'd like to make a brief correction. I should have stuck with my first mind. Michael Nakazawa was among those whose suspension was lifted earlier this week. I had originally included him, then took him out, but he is back in. So that's why he's been back. And I, you know what? That's the thing I hadn't even considered, and I don't know if anybody's actually said it out loud. Because I don't make that assumption. Suspensions, with or without pay, do you know?
I don't have a clue. I do not have a clue. I'm, you know, I'll take a wild guess and say maybe he's going to pay him. But everybody says what a great guy he is. And then on the other hand, punishment would be not to pay him, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
I would think so, too. I would think so, too. Speaking of that, what's his name that owns the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, Robert Sarver.
How about year suspension, and there is one of his executives on the Suns board of directors or something says he should be removed completely.
One of the minority owners in the group, yeah, and he's also on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, and LeBron James and even Chris Paul, the best player on his own team, is saying that they should have done more, that the league should have been harsher with him.
Yeah, $10 million fine and a year suspension.
Yeah, well,
and the Clippers owner got drummed out of the core.
He did.
Yes. So, but yeah, it happens. And this wasn't a work fight. I've still got people saying to me, "Well, look at this. The Bucks are here, and Omega's there, and so and so's. They had to do these things, so this is a way to get them out. It's all a work." I said, "Okay, if you say so." I don't think any of this is a work. I don't. No way, shape, or form. And, it looks that all the talk about that has calmed down, though, hasn't it? Have you noticed that?
Talk about people leaving, you mean?
About the suspensions and about the Bucks and Punk. And I mean, there's still mentions, but it's not like you turn on any wrestling talk podcast or talk show or video and all they're talking about is, you know, this and this and this. And it's, they haven't worn it out necessarily, but it's basically like the news people saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah,
and
well, you know, everybody's leaked their side of the story to their reporter of choice. And it's very clear that Tony is not going to speak on it for a variety of reasons. So, you know, until there's anything new, what are you going to do?
Find something else to entertain us, right? That's what we're going to do. Well, that's what we're going to do.
We've got another episode of Rampage as we record this later on this evening. Won't spoil it for you, although the spoilers are at F4WOnline.com if you want to know ahead of time. Matches, however, include Darby Allin versus Matt Hardy. Well, you know, I see that, and I think it's a race to see who can end up being carted to the back first. Hopefully neither. There's going to be a women's match with Penelope Ford and Willow Nightingale. Ethan Page in action against your favorite guy, Danhausen. And there is a Ring of Honor television championship match with Samoa Joe and Josh Woods. Does not sound like the most sparkling show I've ever seen, but I am quite interested, honestly, just for the reasons I explained in Darby Allin and Matt Hardy. Yeah.
And I'd be interested to see Joe back, too.
That's true. Yeah, that is that's his first official match back. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, it sure is. So, yes, that's it's Danhausen will probably score a big win. And poor Ethan. I wanted to mention that, too. We talk about lousy, and I've seen it written in several places and about the goofy booking, or they question the booking in AEW. Believe me, I am a member of that group of thousands, I guess, that does, too. When Tony Nese, who I have worked with, who is a hell of a worker, and the reason he was chosen for that tournament in Los Angeles, because he could wrestle. And he goes out and takes the Suplex Symphony, the Powerbomb Symphony.
Yes, there you go.
And in like 3 minutes, and I'm thinking, look at this guy and look at his talent. And you're beating him in 3 friggin' minutes, yet you make this same big champion go 15 minutes with Orange Cassidy.
Explain
and
it.
Beat 20 security men in 4 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Nese is better than that, and you need to use him better than that. I mean, I'm not saying he's too good to be putting somebody over, but not in 3 minutes. I mean, I sat and watched it and my mouth dropped open. I said, what the hell are they doing? Tony is a valuable piece, a valuable player in your game, and you need to take better care of him, I think. I do. Believe me.
By the way, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, Tony has gotten better, but he's still doing some goofy booking as well.
Undoubtedly true. What I was going to say is there is one thing from Rampage that I probably should spoil in order to actually have a conversation about our next topic, which is the lineup so far for next week, which is obviously one of the biggest shows AEW does all year. AEW Grand Slam back at the Tennis Center in Queens, New York. Doesn't look like it's going to be a sellout this time, but a healthy 12,000 tickets have already been sold, and there'll probably be a couple thousand more between now and Wednesday. And that is that Claudio Castagnoli will have a confrontation with Chris Jericho on Rampage this evening that results in a Ring of Honor world title match being made for Dynamite next week, Les. And so with that in mind, I want to be able to run down Dynamite Grand Slam here. In addition to that particular match, you've got the All-Atlantic Championship on the line with Pac versus another one of your favorites in Orange Cassidy. There's the World Tag Team title match with Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus the Acclaimed. A lot of folks, based on what happened at the pay-per-view, think that this might be the night for the Acclaimed to claim the World Tag Team titles. The interim AEW Women's World Championship is on the line with Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Serena Deeb, and Athena gets the fourth spot as opposed to Jamie Hayter, so don't be surprised if she figures into what happens there. And obviously the tournament finals for the AEW Championship, Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, and the most important match is the last one you gave to me, because these guys, this little faction is loosely put together, but I think it's one that people, they see, Regal, they see Mox, they see Dragon, and then they see Yuta, and then they see, I guess Garcia is going to end up there. It appears that might be the way, but you don't see them together all the time, but or at least me, anyway, think of it as a strong faction. Am I making any sense? I hope.
You are.
And so, I don't want to beat these guys like a drum, and I don't want Claudio. And I'm concerned because Jericho just, you know, did a hell of a job for Dragon.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. I want to ask you a question based on that, because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking. My thing with that is, I would not put that title on Chris Jericho unless you've got a television deal. What's the point of him carrying that thing around when you've got a million championships? He would be an extremely valuable guy, I think, to have in Ring of Honor as its champion if you had a television presence. So to me, that really depends on whether or not there's a deal in place that we're not aware of yet as to what you should do. Now, what Tony will do is obviously his prerogative, and we have no idea. But if I were him, I would not change anything about the Ring of Honor World Championship unless or until I've got a television deal.
Yeah, I don't make a lot of... I mean, you're right. You're right. And there are so many titles now, so many factions. So, and, of course, it's still the land of the afterbirth. It's like if I see a match and there's not an afterbirth, I think I got to check the channel I'm on. Make sure it's not competition. But, yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. But yeah, that's the faction that I look to because, that's the strongest wrestling faction, at least in my eyes. So I don't know. I do not know for sure.
One question about this, championship final match, not asking you to make a prediction about the winner, but I am asking you to give me a little look into your crystal ball as far as what you think might be next. Does the loser of this match implode the faction?
Please, no. That's the thing I don't want to happen. Again, here we go. Babyface heel, babyface. We got to switch this guy. He's been a babyface 15 minutes. We got to switch him. These guys don't have to switch anything. They can have a hard-hitting, a strong wrestling match. And at the end of it, whoever gets his hand raised as you offer to hold up the other guys, and the faction stays together. And because of what you just said, I'm guessing so many people are looking in that direction too.
Well, that is right? True. Yeah.
That somebody's going to have to double cross the other guy. One's going to have to double cross the other one. And for that very reason, I would decide not to do it. You know, if you get the feel of things, I'll give you a quick example. I mentioned earlier the tournament, the year-long tournament in Los Angeles. And Nigel, we had decided to go with Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano as our finalists. And at that point, this was back in 2012 and 13, we had talked, I thought, okay, we'll put the strap on Cole. And all midweek, before I even got to Los Angeles, Nigel would call me, and he said, I'm talking to some people out here, you know, that are fans and have been coming to our shows and stuff. And they're all saying, we know that Cole's going to win this. And so we decided that Cole wasn't going to win it. And we changed and put this Gargano got the final win in the finals. Just so, it, you know, because here again, we can go back. A lot of people don't know about my favorite Booker's favorite saying, but Leo Garibaldi, what was it he used to say?
Give the people what they want, just not when they're expecting it.
Exactly. The element of surprise has always been a very staple weapon in this industry. It is more important today than it ever was 40 years ago. And yet, I don't see it a lot. But you'd be surprised how much bigger pop you can get if the people don't expect what you're doing and you don't telegraph it. But believe me, it's a fact. And so, but yeah, things are a-changing, right?
They are. One other thing to consider in this final match for the new AEW a men's champion with Moxley and Danielson, and I don't know how much it'll come into play. This is one of those inside baseball decisions that are going to be made in the office. But it is worth noting that it had been obviously reported, and perhaps you've already seen or heard about this a week or two ago, that Jon Moxley was one of a handful of people who were called in, obviously because the team is in need with the suspensions of Punk, the Bucks, and Kenny Omega. and that Moxley was originally scheduled for something of a 6-week vacation, if you will. Now, they were going to do some sort of angle to explain his him being off TV, but he was ready to leave town for a while, and obviously he had to come back, and this is where we are with this tournament. So there's one side of the argument that says Brian Danielson apparently has no plans on going anywhere, and John Moxley is now a couple of weeks late on his 6-week vacation, and he may still want to do this. But if you're Tony Khan, do you want to tell John Moxley he can have the next 6 weeks off when those guys are still gone?
Well, you make it's a good point. It's a good point. I would think Mox probably wants his vacation. I'm going to say if he's taking 6 weeks, I'd say maybe he needs it. I don't mean that in a negative way, except he may be tired. He may be nursing a couple, nagging injuries that aren't stopping him, but, he's feeling the effects of them. It could be a lot of things, but if he needs the 6 weeks, if that's his stance, then I'd say, you go ahead and put the belt on Dragon. Because you know, that's the thing too. The urgent care has more AEW people in it than it does WWE people.
That's true.
And if you watch some of the crap that on the bloopers that are put on the social media, you'll understand why. But if that's something that's critical, and of course, he and his wife have just moved to Cincinnati this year. Back to Cincinnati. That's where John's from, on the outskirts anyway. And I was wondering, I haven't talked to him, if his mother's health was maybe giving him some trouble, and that's why they'd moved to Cincy and left Vegas. I don't know. But, and that may be part of, maybe the 6 weeks so he can actually start helping, get things settled and get them, unpacked and everything. So I don't know. But it should be a good match. And like I say, I just hope they don't turn somebody heel at the end of this thing, because that would just that put the icing on the cake, but it wouldn't be a piece of cake I'd want to eat. That's be the only difference.
We're going to move now to the last item of business on our list here for this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. That is the match that Les Thatcher is currently denying that he'll be a part of. Don't worry. I'm going to keep my nose to the grindstone on this and continue to do investigative reporting for you until this match takes place to prove whether or not Thatcher is actually going to be a part of this. However, I do find it very interesting, Les, that when the rumors were that Ricky Steamboat was going to be involved in Ric Flair's last match, or at the very least, he was wanted for that last match, that he publicly declined the invitation and said part of his, or big portion of his rationale was that he did not want to appear as someone who was significantly lesser than what he was the last time we saw him on national television, which was that incredibly fantastic and surprising run on Raw with Chris Jericho and a few other matches he'd had on pay-per-view and on Raw, more than 10 years ago now. And
right.
Yet we get an announcement in the last couple of days that Ricky Steamboat is going to have a match at actually one of the strongholds for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, the Dorton Arena in Raleigh, in November.
I have wrestled there numerous times. Yeah, Dorton Arena at the fairgrounds in Raleigh, NC. Yeah, I'm curious about this too, because I know that when he made the hospital stay, how many years ago has that been? My God, that's been 12, 13, I don't remember. Anyway, that, the reason he quit training guys down in Tampa was because of the head injury. And so I'm curious, too. I would almost certainly say that he has gotten a doctor's, he's been checked. And the doctor said, yes, that can be, you can do this. Or at least I hope. And, but, I saw him back in July. He looks, now he didn't strip down with his shirt off or anything, except for the gray hair. He looks pretty damn healthy. And he's just a kid, man, 69 years old. Just a baby. But, yeah, I wish him the best, and I do. I may call him and just see if I can get you know, get some feedback on why, and maybe some, you know, talk about some of the card. But yeah, I questioned when I saw it too, because like you say, when the Flair thing came up, Ricky would have been the obvious choice because of their matches were so historically great. But he declined, and for and the reason he declined for, I said, yes, I agree. So I don't know. We shall see. I'll see if I can get in touch with him and maybe have something to report.
That run.
It won't be investigative like no. You.
And that run we were talking about was in 2009, which I believe is around the time that injury. Actually, probably the injury probably took place sometime in 2010, I would imagine, because yeah. His last match actually here is was in FCW, the precursor to NXT, with his son Richie in June 2010 at an FCW right. show. So I imagine that injury took place, which it took place on a live edition of Raw, must have happened after that, sometime after June 2010.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. I know, I mean, firsthand because Ricky told me. There's a schmoz on in Raw or Smack, one of the TVs, and he was in the ring to like the part of it breaking it up or something. Anyway, as far as he knows, got kicked in the head. He went back to Tampa and worked out with the guys, and he got back to his motel room and said he had this horrible headache, and you know, he took some aspirin, it just didn't go away, and so I'm going to take a hot shower. Well, he went in and took a hot shower, thought this will help. It just got worse. And so by the time he came out, he said he knew something was wrong. And he called Richie, his son, who was in Tampa at the time, actually, you know, training at the PC. And, or it wasn't the Performance Center at the time. Anyway, said, hey, come get me and take me to the doctor. I'm not sure what's wrong, but something is terribly wrong. And Ricky got off his bed and crawled to the door of the motel room and locked it so that Richie could get in. Richie helped dress him. And the doctor said, you know, you're lucky to be alive. So that was, you know, what he was fighting off of. And like you say, it's been a lot of years ago. I just hope, you know. And again, I know the Flair, and to say he made a sensible decision wouldn't, I'd say, well, maybe he didn't, because I know Rick Flair, but with Steamboat, I think he, you know, common sense is good, and you know, I think this is probably, you know, he's probably been cleared, or he wouldn't be doing it. We'll see. I like I say, I think I'll give him a call and see what I can find out.
And with that, we're going to wind down this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, but I cannot go anywhere less until you have the opportunity to let everybody know where they can get a hold of you for a training camp. Training camps that once upon a time you used to do with Ricky Steamboat.
Yes. Yeah. Ricky and Harley and I did, we called them super camps, 3-day deals and 2 days as well. Yes, sir. If you would like to book me for a 1-day seminar or a weekend training camp, I'd be more than happy to get the information to you, the cost, what I do, and so forth and so on. And you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com. And I'll be more than happy to send that out to you. Might also mention the Briscoe Booster T-shirt before we hit the road here, which was the first ever pro wrestling T-shirt on the market. It was put out in 1972 by Jack and Jerry Briscoe and myself, and artwork by Jerry the King Lawler. You can get that at Pro Wrestling Tees, as well as I'm a Les Thatcher guy. And I know all the Bucks fans will want one of those. I'm being funny, guys. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to make a joke here. So anyway, but yeah, that wraps us up for today. Have we cured the ills of the professional wrestling business?
One last question. What would have happened if the Bucks had walked into the Briscoes locker room?
They wouldn't have walked out. would be my guess. We'll never know, will we?
No, we will not. Lucky for them. We're wrapping up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. For the legend, Les Thatcher, my name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to spend some of it here with us. And we will talk to you again next week.